get after it. It is the fastest growing surf podcast in North America.
It's
a midlife surfer podcast, and greetings from the famed Seabright district of Santa Cruz, bucolic Santa Cruz. It's 6:48 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So how bad do we want it, Alex?
We want it.
That's right. It's basically the only fucking window of time to record this, which says something. But I like being busy. I like being busy to the point where you have to jam stuff in like that. I don't know. I'm a little happier of a person, I think.
Yeah. Well, it feels good to accomplish something that, like, we've been trying to connect for weeks.
Yeah.
And we're honestly just packed, you know, doing the best we can, managing all this stuff.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'll go at 6:45 a.m. Yeah. I might be a little scratchy, but you know, let's do it.
And we are scratchy. And there's something about the Seabright area of Santa Cruz. If you've ever visited Santa Cruz, it's right off the harbor, and just the smell of the air, it reminds me of vacationing here as a kid. My grandparents had a house on Second Avenue, you know, right up from the steps, and that's since been torn down, and now there's some stupid stucco monstrosity there. But it was just this little shabby beach house, and anyway. I wish my mom and her siblings held on to that damn thing, but they didn't. But anyway, there's that smell in the air, and I remember as a little kid thinking, and I grew up in Fresno in the Valley, which is about 3 hours inland, you know, and it's hot, and it's smoggy, and I call it God's country. I still like that area a lot, but it ain't Santa Cruz. And I used to I had a plan. I was gonna to get a jar and somehow like trap that smell, you know, those little 8-year-old thoughts you have, you know, in the jar, and then open it up and smell Santa Cruz, then close it real quick. I used to love that smell. Getting out of the car is one of my favorite things. It's like that first time it hits you. Kind of like when you travel to Tahoe or something, right?
Those pines. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I wonder if you were able to trap that smell and bring it back to, you know, Fresno. Would it have lasted in the jar?
No, probably not.
What would it have smelled like after a few weeks?
Exactly. Not too good. I'm talking to Alex Check of Oroco, Oroco Clothing, Oroco.com.
Yes, sir.
At Oroco Life on Instagram. And we are broadcasting live because Darcy's Aunt Susie is visiting, and she's staying in the home office. So we have an impromptu interview at the Oroco Warehouse in Seabright. And it's a pretty cool spot. It's just up the street from Santa Cruz Skateboards, NHS. And there's this cool, it's just very Santa Cruz-y, this badass neon sign that says Santa Cruz and that iconic logo, you know? Mm-hmm. And anyway, Santa Cruz vibes all around. So thank you for joining me, Alex. This is episode 60, and this is a big day because we've been pumping this up. I had a really most righteous giveaway I've ever had on the pod, where if you donated $5 and or you placed an order on Oroco, you earned a ticket in a drawing, which we'll conduct later this pod. And I brought my circa 2007 San Francisco Giants hat as promised, to do this drawing. So someone's going to win $200 in Oroco gear. So thank you for participating in the pod, Alex. I appreciate it, brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun.
Yeah. You're one of my fave guests because you just have a lot to offer, and you're humble, and I always have a feeling you have way more stories than you share. Not that you're holding back, but I just haven't asked the right questions sometimes because you're a wealth of information, especially in surf. You're also a graphic design instructor at a high school here in the Bay Area. You're a former pro bodyboarder, aka Boogie Body, cover boy on Le Boogie magazine. And then, you know, I thought about you because you had your buddy Mike visit.
Uh-huh.
And the new WSL, by the time this airs, I think WSL's event will be at G-Land.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think I was talking to Mike, and he said that you guys were in G-Land at one point.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times.
And he said he was at a bar. And there's these backlit pictures, like faded, cool backlit pictures. And he was like, Alex, is that you in that picture up there? Did you know you're featured at a bar in G-Land, according to Mike?
Well, I didn't know it. And then some people came and told me later that I was. So at Bobby, there's a bunch of surf camps there.
Yeah.
And then at Bobby's camp, right above the main bar, like front and center, there's a picture of me.
That's sick. It must be a dope picture, dude.
It was we got G-Land as good as it gets, and the Cobra was breaking. And
what'd you say?
The Cobra. So there's different sections of G-Land.
Of course.
And it's very rare for the Cobra section to break. And that basically breaks in between, like, outside of Money Trees, but into Speedies. And it just barrels all the way through, you know, through Speedy's, and it's just a phenomenal wave.
Is it called a Cobra because it has like an A-frame shape that's a Cobra head?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just a sick barrel.
I don't know much about G-Land. Is it, what's it, Grajagan or what's it called?
Grajagan.
Grajagan, and that's in Indonesia?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's on the island of Java.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Where do you fly into?
We always go into Bali. Mm-hmm. That's Bobby's camp's main facility is there. So you can go there and just roll up on them. And they have a few different ways that you can travel over to G-Land. But, you know, you can leave at night and travel all night long, you know, via bus and ferry to get there. Or you can, you know, drive to this one spot and take a boat over. So there's a bunch of different ways to make it, but it's in this preserve, this jungle that they have way out in the middle of nowhere. There's some really good documentaries too about it.
Oh, really?
We'll have to check out one day.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I'd like that.
How they found it and how people used to stay there. It's a pretty cool spot. Even with all the surf camps now, I think there's like 4 surf camps there now, but it still has its like wild elements, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. So who's this Bobby? So he's a friend of yours that has a surf camp
out there? No, I'm not. Bobby, you know, I don't know his full story, but that was like one of the first surf camps, and then they had a tsunami, and then this other guy took over the old camp, and then they created a new camp kind of a little further back into the jungle. So yeah, I'm not an expert on his whole story, but it's a killer place, man.
Really?
It's quite the operation.
What kind of waves are out there?
You know, the first time we went there in May, gosh, it was like May 18th, I guess almost right around this time. And we were going to be in G-Land for, I think like 5 days is what we booked when we were in Bali. And then next thing you know, the waves just started to turn on. You could extend your stay. So I think we ended up staying for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it blew my mind. Like the waves blew my mind. You
really?
Know, you could sit in the barrel for like a football field length.
Really?
Oh yeah. Just driving barrels. It was mind bending. So I got the bug after that. And then my buddy Sylvan and I, we went back the next time, and Mike went with us that next time as well. And it was also really good, but it wasn't as good as the first time. It's crazy. So the WSL that's coming right now, the window of time that they're going to be there is perfect.
Really?
There's swell normally around that time, and the moon is perfect for that time, which, you know, dictates the tides and kind of what happens. So I have a feeling they're going to score, or I hope they score.
Are you still following WSL per our fantasy league?
yeah. As much as I possibly can. I'll probably, since, you know, the school year is almost ending here, I'll probably have more time over the summer. But I'm definitely going to follow the G-Land contest.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't looked at where I'm at in our little fantasy league. Maybe I'm still last or second to last.
I don't know where you are. I'm selfish. Only look at where I am. And then I curse the two guys that are ahead of me. I'm in third place. All I want to do is get to second just to get my money back.
There you go.
We do like a $100 buy-in and then there's a payout. It's really fun. It gives you a reason to pay attention, you know, to WSL. So I'm like 300 points back, which would mean I'd need to, you know, someone's going to really have to fuck up for me to, you know, catch up. But hey, anything's possible.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I've never done any fantasy league ever. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll try it. Let's see. Let's have some fun.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is.
I recommend listeners to get into it. And it's also kind of inspiring to watch those kids too. I get fired up, you know, to go surf. All of a sudden I'm like, I should be trying to get it on a shortboard more, you know? And you get your WSL on, or at least feel like it. It's kind of fun to watch. It makes you want to surf. And it's cool to learn about cool spots like G-Land, for example.
Well, I really like that they have the women and the men like surfing together. Because it's just, you don't, you know, being a guy, I don't know if, to be honest, if I would have just specifically watched the women's event. So for me, it's been so cool to like have my eyes open to just like how epic the women are surfing, and just seeing that, just, you know, having a daughter that I'm trying to raise as a surfer, it's like, oh my gosh, look, you know, her name's Autumn. Look at, this is like a path if you wanted to do this, you know, and these girls train and work super hard and they're killing it, you know, like, this is, how cool is this?
Yeah.
So for me, it's just, it's been really neat,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, those women charge so hard too. And red. Yeah. Women surfing is really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mentioned this last time we spoke, but there's something, I don't know, there's more graceful.
Totally.
I don't get off on airs, like, because I don't, I mean, airs are pretty rad. Philippe Toledo busting some, I don't even know what air reverse is, but, you know, getting up there, flipping, you know, 360 landing and then getting tubed and then coming out of that and busting another one so easily. It's like, it's just so not relatable that maybe that's where it loses me a little bit.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. Yeah, it's just been nice to see the whole package together.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I was pretty ignorant about, you know, what was happening in women's surfing. Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool to at least see that side.
Have you watched, by chance, I think I mentioned it to you, a Make or Break series on Apple TV?
I have not seen that yet.
Have you heard of it?
No, I have
not. All right. Well, I would, if you don't have Apple TV, I would just recommend to anybody, get the 1 week, you know, free, you know, thing. Just make sure you cancel your subscription if you don't want to keep it. But, you know, my wife was into it too. Like, it's only like 7 or 8 episodes, maybe, I want to say. And it's a reality show, like a docuseries following the 2021 season of WSL. I think WSL misses the mark on so many things sometimes. They're real corny and kind of lame. This one actually hit, I thought, a home run. Like, it got you really invested in each surfer. It focused on Tyler Wright a little bit. It focuses on, oh shoot, Tatiana West and Joanne DeFay. And then on the men's side, it dials into like Matt McGillivray and Morgan Sibilla, a couple rookies, you know, and just what their life is. It shows Matt McGillivray sleeping in a van, you know, when they're down in... when they're down in San Clemente, and just like, just the hustle it is to be on the tour, you know, how hard it is. And then Gabriel Medina and all his drama, you know, divorces his family basically. And then he marries some supermodel. And now I know in today, current date, like they're already divorced and just the chaos of that. And then I've always liked Gabriel Medina. I've always kind of liked the bad guy, like in wrestling. I used to love wrestling when I was a kid. I always liked the bad guys. I loved Barry Bonds. I like the villains, you know?
Yeah.
And he's totally, for whatever reason, for better or worse, he's not a bad person, but he just kind of embodies that villain role. He's so hard to beat. Uh-huh. And to see him vulnerable, he cries a couple times in the series. Yeah. My wife loved Felipe Toledo after, you know, seeing him and his kids and his cute wife and just a cute family. He's got all of his family with them and I don't know, really invested. So I don't know. I recommend that series Make or Break on Apple TV. I find, I don't know, it makes me want to, probably my wife will be more interested too. You know, like, well, how's Morgan Sibilic doing? You know, how's that Australian rookie guy doing? Uh-huh, you know, so anyway, I recommend that. Do you consume any surf media? How do you get your surf media, or do you pursue it or consume it or read it or anything?
You know what? It's never really been my thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a magazine guy.
Yeah.
Being a graphic designer, I really like the feeling of like turning pages and looking at layout in that format. Since I'm also designing a lot on a computer screen, I try to stay off screens as much as I possibly can just because I get sick and tired of looking at them. So as a result, since there aren't magazines really anymore, I'm not jumping on, you know, the web. I don't really check it out. Maybe Instagram, but I honestly wouldn't even be on Instagram if I didn't have a business.
Yeah.
You know, and I find myself scrolling through Instagram stuff and keeping track of a few things here. But even then, I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I totally agree. I wouldn't have it without the pod. And even then, I don't know, it's like 450, 60 followers, but it's nice just to post when I have a new episode up.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself, that's like the only thing I post. And then I'll intentionally delete the app because, it'd be like Tuesday at, you know, 2:30. And I like make a sales call and you know, my real job. And then I'm in my car and I'll just like instinctively like open Instagram, start scrolling. What the hell am I doing?
Right.
I don't know how much time I just burned, like 2.5, 4, 5 minutes, whatever. It's just garbage. I mean, it's not garbage, but it's just, I was listening to someone just talking about in the morning, just how much stimuli is coming at us at all times. And just, I don't know if it's good or bad for the brain, but it's different than what you and I grew up with. Even though now, I don't know, at least a third of my life now, it feels like has been, you know, with screens, you know, in me, but on my face. But I don't know where I'm going with that. But I'm with you on the screen thing. Sometimes I just get absolutely just sick of looking at my phone. And then I'm like addicted to my phone.
Right. Yeah. And it happens. Like you just... Well, even with Instagram, you know, you put something up there and you want to see, like, you know, if I feel like it's email almost, you know, not in a bad way, but it's I have people reaching out to me, which is really cool. That's one of the better parts of Instagram is I do get to hear from other people and interact with, you know, folks that support us, which is, that's neat, huge. You know? So I look at it like email in that sense. But it feels like it could be another email because I've got, I think I have like four different email accounts that I manage. You know, it's just like at school, it's a waterfall of emails all day long. And
Do you have all four email accounts? Do they come through into your phone as well too?
No. So that was one thing I made sure I didn't do is I have no email on my phone.
Really?
Yeah. None.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I just, and my wife gets mad at me, and she's not on any social media, but she's like, why don't you check your email? I'm like, no, I don't want to, you give me a hard time when I pick up my phone for a second, you know, like I would look at my phone even more if I had email on my phone.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So when do you check your email? Do you have a
little early in the morning
ritual with it?
Yeah, I get up really early in the morning and just go through all my email accounts, answer all the emails, and then throughout the day, if I'm at school, I just check my emails. And then when the day's for business and for school, and then, I turn it off. And then at night, not right before bed, but you know, once the kids go to bed, I'll just go and see if there's anything crucial. Mm-hmm. And I won't spend any more than maybe like 20 minutes. And then I just turn it off and then wait for the next day.
It's pretty disciplined. Good for you. I like that. Have you surfed lately?
No, man, I have not.
When was the last time you went surfing? Was it with
I think it was with you.
Really? That has been a while, dude. What the hell?
Yeah, well, we went to the beach yesterday and I body surfed with the kids.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I boogied with Autumn and Koa.
Nice.
And we went to Blacks and just jumped over waves. And
yeah.
That was fun.
Killer. And the swell's down, so it was
swell's
nice.
Down. Yeah, the kids felt, you know, they were stoked out there and catching waves and, you know, doing their thing. It was
excellent.
Great. Yeah.
Wait. How's your shoulder doing? Speaking of no swell, if any like hardcore fans of the pod would listen to our trip in Baja right about this time last year, and poor Alex, we got off the damn plane. We hadn't unpacked our bags yet. Went down to the beach, and you're body surfing. You know, not even 1 foot. There was nothing, and you slammed your shoulder into the beach and fucked your shoulder up.
Yeah.
How is your shoulder?
It's okay. It's not 100%.
Really?
You know, but it's fine. Like I'm not worried about it. But it's still. You know, not great.
Yeah,
but it's okay. Yeah. It'll be fine. This once the school year ends here, I need to do some exercise and get it back into shape.
Do you think about surfing a lot?
I do. You know, I try to block it out actually sometimes too. You know, I know that might sound weird, but I just with all this. All the kids stuff that I manage, you know, for the family. And then, you know, my day job as a teacher is so gnarly and there's just so many things to accomplish to make a successful program. And then, you know, business is just, it keeps growing and growing and there's a lot of problem solving there. So if I thought about surfing all the time, I'd probably get depressed because I'd feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
'Cause I have buddies that, like surf all the time and whenever the waves are good, they're on it. And, you know, I'm stoked for them. I'm stoked like that's the choice that they've made to pursue, you know, but, I also try to just block it out sometimes and not connect with them because I love hearing about like how good the waves were and how sick the barrel was that they had. And, you know, like, you know, just the interval, the swell and what it was doing, how power, you know, all that stuff. I love that stuff. But if I think about it every day or I reach out to people and get the report all the time, then it kind of makes me go, what am I doing? You know, but I've been so fortunate to surf and get such good waves and I've surfed my brains out my whole life. I feel like the last 10 years or so have just been like power time. It's like, okay, I need to, you know, keep all my stuff together. Got mortgages to pay. Mm-hmm. I've got, you know, the kids need me to be around for their games and take them to practices. It's like their time, you know, it's not my time.
Right.
So I can't be selfish. And I know like my surf time is going to come back. Like it comes in solid windows, you cool. know?
Good.
You know, and I just have to make the time over the summer to do it and then create like a new routine for next year, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, there's always stuff, too much to do, mm-hmm. but figuring out the routine to incorporate that in there. It's coming back and I feel fine, you know? Yeah, I'll be back out there and I might be a little rusty here yeah. and there, but then surf like 5-6 times and you know, okay.
Get back in the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not, when I first met Michelle Junot and I kind of caught the bug and I was getting a shape, you know, made and I kind of told him my story and I said, I just can't, I don't know, I'm just hooked on it. You know, he goes, all right, well, now your life's ruined. And it's true. I imagine, you know, if a listener is listening to a surf podcast, they probably think about surfing a lot. I mean, I think about it so much. It's like, yeah, it doesn't feel healthy sometimes. You're like, you know, you got other way more important things to do. Like this isn't important, but it is important, but it's not as important as, you know, as you said, kids and family and business, et cetera.
But it there's so much joy in surfing, you know? I mean, I just was in the water with the kids yesterday and my daughter loves the ocean.
Yeah.
My son likes the ocean.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
And you know, he's a little bit more afraid and he's, you know, definitely adapted and come a long way since he was little. Like he'll go under waves now, which is kind of a big deal for him.
Yeah.
But my daughter is out there diving under waves.
Really?
And she's just so much joy. You know, she's like, I love the water, Dad. I love the water, you know? And I'm like, do you want to surf? No, I just want to dive under the waves and swim around.
Perfect.
And yeah, it's so cool. So, I mean, just being in the water, yeah. that's a very relaxing place, you know? I mean, it's so beautiful. There's, you know, pelicans flying around. You see seals in the water. The sun's out, you know? It's like, the ocean makes you feel good. You know?
Well, that must warm your soul seeing your, you know, Autumn out there in the water, like loving it like that.
Oh yeah. 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 It's cool. I mean, I don't care if she surfs or not. I'm just happy that she likes the ocean so much.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I'm like, do you like the pool better or the ocean better? Yeah. She's like, I like the ocean better.
Hell yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids are, my younger one is more into it, but Joe's, I've mentioned, he's, I don't like the ocean. I don't want to go in there. I don't know what's in the water. I'm not an ocean guy. Okay. He likes baseball a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Autumn's into the ocean, and then she's also, what other extracurriculars activities is your daughter into these days?
She does gymnastics. Yeah. She likes that. And then she's really into, her hip-hop dance class.
Yes.
Yeah, she's good at that.
Outstanding. How old are your kids?
They're twins. They're 8.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful age.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah, she's busy. And then my son, like your son, loves baseball.
Yeah.
He wants to be Buster Posey.
Cool.
Reincarnated.
Hell yeah. How's that going? How's baseball going?
Oh, it's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've talked about how he never had a chance to play baseball because all the COVID stuff, or we didn't know to put him into baseball, or, you know, I just dropped the ball on that one. So he was in single A this year. Mm-hmm. And he was really upset because he was just a little bit older than all the other guys. But he's never played before.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've played as a kid, just throwing the ball back and forth and pitch it to him and hit and practice. But, you know, I'm like, you've never been on a team.
Right.
And, you know, just all year, I'm good, Dad. I should be in double, you know, just it was a battle all year. But here we are. We have one game left today.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loves it. Yeah. You know, he was okay being like the bigger guy on the team.
Good.
He had a super, he hasn't struck out, he says.
Exactly.
You know, he's made a hit every single time. Yeah. And he's just super pumped to get into double A, but he wants to trap for triple A.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to work together all summer and I'll try to get him up and see if he can do it. He loves it. You know, he loves it. He'll sit down and watch a baseball game mm-hmm. and just take notes.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great.
Yeah.
I bet he could probably hang at triple A.
He might be able
to try to, you know.
I'm gonna let him try out. Yeah. And if he doesn't make it, then he doesn't make it. It's okay.
Yeah, and you know, in this local little league, you know, there's T-ball. I'm coaching T-ball. I think it's my last year coaching. I'm very grateful for it. I'm only qualified to coach T-ball. It's like herding cats. Yeah. It's just so fucking boring. Like, it's just, God bless these kids. They're really sweet.
It requires a saint to be able to coach T-ball, though.
I guess. It requires like 2 or 3 dads to help, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And they are begging for coaches. And I emailed a couple contacts in my neighborhood that had kids playing. And it's like, I'll sign up to be the head coach, but just up front, I'm going to make 60% of the games. You know, I set the bar low. I probably made 75% of them. You know, I'm going to need people to cover, etc. And it's just like, you know, it's like sometimes it's like 10 on 10. Everyone hits every inning. You just, okay, here we go. All right. You know, so-and-so, you're up. And then he hits. And then the role is you just run to first every time.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing. The kids field it. They all run to each other, tackle each other for the baseball. Any mom or dad listening knows what I'm talking about. I've had their kid in t-ball, softball, whatever. And they throw it to first base. The kid never catches it. Then they throw it back to me. And it's just rinse, repeat, rinse, and repeat. And only three innings, mercifully. Oh. And by the time it's that third inning, man, everyone's just like, oh, my God. All right. It's almost over here. And then my kid's feral, my, you know, five-year-old, and he's there half. Sometimes I don't even take him, and I just show up because I'm just like, it's not your sport, dude.
Yeah.
It's cool. Good to expose your kids, but you got to kind of follow the lead. And then with Joe, you know, he did T-ball, and then he did not like single A. And then luckily for him, COVID hit, and they shut down the season in 2020. He was so pumped about that. I said, you never have to play baseball again, dude. It's all good, you know? And then just like your boy, he caught the bug, and he's playing double A. And yeah, he's having a great year too. And I like it way too much. Like I'm way too into it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, double A, so like single A is the coach's pitch, I think, right? And then do they do outs and wins and things like that?
They don't have wins.
Yeah.
But I mean, technically there are teams that do win, but nobody's really keeping track.
Right.
You know, everybody wins.
Right,
you
know? Right.
But yeah, there's seven innings.
Yep.
The coach pitches, nice. And it's like a good pitch. It's not like he's trying to pitch them, get them out, but they're pretty fast, like over the plate, and you know the kids could strike out, and it's good. I'm like you, I love it. You know, I've had the opportunity to be the assistant to the assistant coach this year. So
nice. It's fun to get out there and whizz around with the kids.
Oh yeah, no, it's so much fun. I feel like I'm hanging out with the Bad News Bears because I'll help out with the bench and keep the kids in line. You know, that's like nice. Hey, you know, you can't build sack castles right now. Come on over here. You're up to bat. You know, put your bat away.
Yeah.
You know, I get to be a base coach and talk to the kids out there sometimes.
That's fun.
It's super cool.
So cute.
Yeah, because I was like Daniel. I played t-ball, and I just was like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was like my baseball experience as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, just wasn't there. So for me, this is all brand new.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like, oh, like I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
You know, Coe's had such a good coach group this year. It's been cool.
Yeah. I learned stuff too still, and I consider myself a pretty knowledgeable baseball fan, but you know, little rules and tweaks, like for example, I forgot, you know, if someone hits a foul ball immediately on the ground in the infield and it's trickling, you know, you want to rush and touch that ball, so it's called foul. That thing could roll right back on in, you know, and then that's a base hit, you know. You know, I kind of forgot that. I'll sit next to the scorekeeper, and God bless these umps, they're like 14 years old, you know, and I think he just called foul ball regardless, and then actually rolled back into this, you know, the field. And this mom was asked, she says, like, what was the call? And I go, no, I was foul, it was supposed to be foul. And the scorekeeper goes, no, if it rolls back in, it's fair. So, oh, you're right, okay. And I do recall something in the majors where that occurred a couple years ago where the guy didn't touch it or something like that. So it's such a nuanced game. And then double A, which my son's playing, one level up from co-op, they do count wins and losses. They have standings and they have playoffs. And in fact, his team just had to finish the year yesterday as the 2 seed. And, you know, I've had moments with my boy. He wants to be good so bad. And he actually is pretty darn good. But, you know, he pitches and, you know, he's like kind of all over the place with it. And he will really express to me, like, I just want to be so good. And I see how stressed out he is about it. You know, playing out back with him at the game, he's very upbeat. He's happy. That's one thing I point out to my wife every day. I'm like, you know, but just look at him right now. I mean, he never pouts. He's never down on himself. You know, he has struck out a handful of times, but he always just stays upbeat and he's just having fun. And he runs out to his position and runs back in the dugout. And you see like true happiness in his body. He like really loves it. You know, and I imagine is what Koa expresses out there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I find myself, all right, hit it right back to the pitcher, Joe. You know, point your toe at home plate when you throw and open your hips when you swing. And, you know, I'm just like yelling shit. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up. You know, you're not. Anyway, he broke down in the backyard the other day where he was trying to pitch. We were practicing. And I'm trying to offer pointers. And then I just came over and hugged him. And he was, you know, cried to me. And I kind of Googled, you know, kid melts down practicing baseball, you know. Uh-huh. And I read this. Kind of broke my heart a little bit. It was an article written by a child psychologist talking about how baseball is uniquely different than other sports for kids. I had a magical time playing baseball. I played Little League. I stopped playing at 7th or 8th grade because I sucked. But, you know, I had some of my best memories at this age, like 8, 9, 10. And how, you know, it's an interesting sport because it's isolating in a way. Yes, it's a team sport, but no one's going to help you when you're on the mound by yourself. No one's going to help you when you're at the plate by yourself. If there's a pop-up and it's coming to you, there's no part about team there. It's up to you to perform. And if you fail, as opposed to, say, failing in, I don't know, competitive surfing or gymnastics, you know, where you just own that failure, you're the one who lost. Tennis, you know, you take it with you. In baseball, if you fail in that specific moment, you actually let the entire team down too. And, you know, there's all these vibes and vicarious kind of pressures. I find myself really wanting my boy to be good because he's an extension of me.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of really unhealthy, you know, thoughts, right? You know, I want him to be really like, better than I was at baseball. So whether I express it or not, and I'm sure I do, I try to stay positive, but there's times where, you know, I'll critique what he's done. And it's just, the whole thing just seems like it's just really kind of damaging. This guy was saying, you shouldn't even, don't tell your kids to, you know, the interview said, what should you tell your kid, you know, in a game to keep it positive? He said, tell him I love you. Don't tell him to have fun. Don't tell him to keep your elbow up, you know, when you're batting. You tell him I love you. And then when it's done, whether don't talk about the win or loss, tell them you love them. You know, just make sure they know you love them regardless. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. You know, I'm still like, fuck yeah, that was a good win, dude. Good job, man. You got a nice hit there. You know what I mean? But it was good to read and a good refresher for me just to take my foot off the gas pedal because I'm no stage dad and I'm not domineering or, you know. But there is a guilty, I know I'm vicariously like hoping for his success, you know, by virtue of my love for baseball. It's hard not to do that.
Yeah, how can you not do that? Of course you want your kid to do well, right?
Right?
I mean, yeah, they don't have to win everything, but you just want to see them succeed and be happy,
yes.
You know,
yes.
and feel good and see their ego get inflated a little bit,
yeah.
You know, and just feel good about themselves.
Yeah, it's a tough one because, yeah, you don't, I don't know, like I try to coach him and help him out, but he doesn't want to hear me. But if you coached him, he would listen to what, you know, you had to say.
Right.
You know? So yeah. I got him signed. He wants to get better. So I'm like, all right, we'll sign you up for some stuff this summer and let's get you better, you know.
Cool.
Says he wants to play college for Fresno State or Stanford.
Nice.
To both academically in the same class for sure.
Well, we'll see, right? Yeah. We'll see. That's so fun about having kids. You get to see where they end up. You never know. They always surprise you, right?
They do. You never know. If the passion's there, you're like, you know, you got, as our parents, you have to pour your energy into, you know, what direction your kids want to go, right?
In yeah.
a productive way. So if that's one of them, that's fine. I mean, and then you see little kids who are just suck at baseball, but they have that one hit or two hits, you know? And I know as a kid, I probably wasn't that good, but I had one or two moments that I take with me for the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know? So just that one or two hits you take with you,
yeah.
and you remember those days, you know?
It doesn't take much. It's like getting one good wave, you know?
Exactly.
Same thing. It's like, whoa, I remember that wave.
do you have some memories? I'm sure you do. Maybe it's too much on the spot, but do you have a childhood memory that you take with you today, like a moment of success that you had, either in a boogie board competition or a spelling bee or anything like that, that maybe you still, is still crystallized in your brain as a impactful moment?
Well, I remember the first time I got barreled on a bodyboard. You know, I'll never forget that.
Where was that?
It was at my little local spot called Pillbox in mm-hmm. Solana Beach.
In Solana Beach.
Yeah, just right next to Cardiff,
mm-hmm.
in between Cardiff and Del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little reef out there. It's not much anything, but it was a great little spot. And I just remember taking off, going left, and just seeing the lip come over me and, you know, like properly and coming out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a big wave, maybe 3 foot face,
mm-hmm.
you know, just tiny little barrel. But that was, I was like, whoa, like mm-hmm. that was amazing. Cause all the other kids talking about getting barreled and barrels. And like, I'm like, whoa, I just got I got barreled.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I came out.
How old were you when that occurred?
I think I was about 13.
Yeah. You
know, 12 or 13.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
it what's cool. It like getting barreled? I'm 40 years old. I've never been to the closest I've been to barreling is getting just flipped over and over in Nicaragua when I was trying to go backside, just holding my rail, you know. And then my buddy Jason said, "You got barreled there," but I was like, "Oh, I did? Cool." And I was like, "But I did not get, you know, I didn't feel it, I didn't see it, you know, I didn't like have that moment."
Yeah, it's It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's kind of like the, it's the, I mean, that's the place you want to, like in surfing, that's what you're going after.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Right.
I mean, it's fun just having long lines and, you know, doing that. Doing turns and top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a lot of fun too. But yeah, sports wise, there's, or other activity, you know, there's a lot of fishing moments that I've had where I remember just catching fish with my granddad and just having those moments of like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look at this fish that we caught, you know, like, cause you, when you fish, you have to work for it and you're trying to figure out like the right, you know, setup and boat speed. And, you know, there's just so many aspects to it. So when you finally connect and then you catch the fish that you're going after, it's really rewarding. Mm-hmm. So there's several times like that where I look back and I got the, you know, the fishing bug.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is it. This is why we do it. This is why we're on the boat all day. Yeah. You know, this is so amazing.
It's funny the impact you have on kids, you know, how you have, you know, specific memories. And as an adult, I think about, what, I wonder what moments my kids will take with them when they're adults, you know? Mm-hmm. There's little sayings, there's some probably some negative things, you know, that you could pass on them that they're going to take with them. You know, one little comment you say that can turn into some insecurity for the rest of their lives. You know, my mom told me once years ago, I was a little kid, I don't know why or how, but she said, sometimes it's better to have peace than to be right, you know? And I always held on to that one. I always thought that was a really nice, that's a pretty wise, you know, notion to hold on to, especially in a marriage. But I don't know if I always exercise it, but it's just funny. You never know what moments and memories that, you know, you're going to take with you as a kid.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good to kind of keep that in mind when you're with your kids too.
It's hard though. Being a husband, being a parent, it's not easy, you know, and sometimes you just want to be you and say what you want to say and it doesn't always work out well.
No. Have you ever had a moment where you've been complimented, like, you're a good dad or something like that, and then you think, like, I don't know, I dropped Daniel off the other day and I said something to the kid, and even yesterday this woman was saying, you're so positive. I heard the way you're talking to Joe when you're tying his shoes before baseball, and it was so positive, and I think, fuck, you have no idea who I am. You know, like, that's bullshit, but I'll take the compliment.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You just feel like, I'm a shit. I'm not a good dad. I'm trying, but I don't know about that.
Yeah. Am I a good dad? Like, then you start thinking, am I a good dad? No, I'm not. You know, I'm blowing it. I blew it here. I should have done this. I should have been this nicer here. Yep. I should have been more patient here. Yeah. You know?
But she's probably right. You know, I think just even asking yourself if you're a good parent means you're probably a good parent. It's kind of like they say when you're going to therapy, like just the fact that you decided to go to therapy is already a step in getting yourself better.
That's true. You know? Yeah, because you care about trying to do it right or figure it out.
Yeah. You hear that Chris Rock joke where someone's like bragging? It was years ago. I take care of my kids. I take care of my kids. And Chris Rock's like, you're supposed to take care of your kids. Anyway, it's a good joke.
Anyway, I like Chris Rock.
Love Chris Rock. And I can't wait for the rematch where he gets to strap it on and kick Will Smith's ass. I met Chris Rock once. Actually, I didn't meet him. I was at down in Hollywood when I was in college. My friend, the great Adam Montiel, who produces this show, man. He's from down south there. And we drove in his station wagon down to Hollywood. He's like, we're going to go out in Hollywood. Cool. So we went to Sushi Roku, I want to say. Huh. And sure enough, man, I was like, well, so wide-eyed. It was a stormy night in Hollywood. And there was Mike Durst, the bassist for Green Day, like having you know, dinner with his wife. And then there was Adam Sandler at another table at this spot. And then we're going to go to the Laugh Factory. And this was like 2002. Remember Hypnotic? That like,
oh, yeah.
That like neon blue drink, liqueur or whatever. That was hot. You know, Fabulous was rapping about it. And I worked in Top 40 radio. So we're like, let's get some fucking Hypnotic. And then, so we got Hypnotic at this liquor store. In the liquor store was David Alan Greer with his girlfriend, like in this wine shop, picking stuff out. And so now we're in line to go into the Laugh Factory. And then someone goes, excuse me. And, you know, there's no one really headlining. It's kind of an open mic thing. And it was a really, really short dude. He was like, excuse me, pardon me, kind of shuffling through. And there's this buzz about who was, and sure enough, it was freaking Chris Rock, just matriculating. Cool. He walked right past me, kind of said, excuse me. I walked out, oh my gosh, that's Chris Rock. And once we got in there, Chris Rock opened it. And he was just doing his Oscar jokes, like just brainstorming Oscar jokes, just bouncing off the crowd and stuff, and just working out some material because Oscars were forthcoming.
Uh-huh.
And then John Lovitz came on after him.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You scored.
I scored. It was like paddling out on a flat day, and then all of a sudden you had it all to yourself.
Yeah.
I love Chris Rock. And I like John Lovitz too.
Yeah, he's good too.
He made some crude jokes I won't even repeat here, but they were funny.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
All right, so life's really busy for you right now. The school's winding down, and it's incredibly busy. You've expressed that to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. But that's the life of a teacher. Every teacher's life right now is just gnarly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And Iroko's doing well?
Yep, we're doing good.
Yeah, your warehouse is jam-packed. You said you need twice this space. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's I'm blessed to have this space. I'm glad to be in the cannery, but... I definitely just need more space to spread out and store more goods. The folks here at Verb allow me to store a bunch of stuff in their warehouse space too. So that helps.
Oh, but cool.
Yeah, right now we just got all of our new hats in, new t-shirts in. So
yeah,
we're just trying to find a home for them.
Right. Good. Well, Iroko.com is the place to find that home. And then shortly we're going to do a little drawing for $200 in Iroko gear. U-R-O-K-O. Iroko. You went to a Gojira concert. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had a good time.
Was that at Chase Center in San Francisco?
Yeah, it was.
How was that venue for music?
It's great.
Is it?
The sound is really cool.
Nice.
My buddy Sylvan and I went, and part of our adventure was just walking through different parts and listening to the sound and hearing how the sound changed as you moved around. And we finally found like the best spot. Like, you know where the engineers sit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the spot.
Yeah. You were down on the floor?
The floor.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. They're grinding it out. They played with the Deftones. It was just, you could feel it, you know? I love it when you could feel just that grind, you know, kind of going through your core.
Yes, that feeling. Yes, you know? I totally agree.
It was, I needed that. You know, I don't listen to like super hard metal all the time like I used to as a kid. But it just was an opportunity just to reconnect with those feelings. And I was like, all right, let's go to Puerto right now. Yeah. Let's go through some monster ways, you know?
Yeah.
That was awesome, you know? But they start on time and they end on time. Mm. So it was like 11 o'clock and Sylvan and I were like, wait, it's over, it's done, you know?
Dude, yeah. I'm into that starting and ending on time.
Oh yeah, me too.
We were hanging out the other day. I think I mentioned my wife and I like, you know, we're sports fans, but like when the Warriors have a 7:30 PM game, you're just like, shit, man, I can't make it to 10:30 to finish this thing out. Like it's halftime and it's 9 o'clock, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I like the East Coast games like more and more. I like getting to bed early.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Nice. It's nice to have a good night's sleep.
No doubt. So is that Chase Center? That's cool. And so you're familiar with, were you familiar with Gojira's music at all?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I have a good friend of mine, in San Francisco who introduced me to, Mario DePlanter, who's the drummer.
Okay.
Gojira.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And Mario is actually a bodyboarder as well.
Oh,
so that's
cool.
That's how the connection happened. I've never had a chance to properly surf with Mario, and I knew he was coming through, and I was reaching out to him and talking to him over Instagram, and he's like, "Oh, we can't like the tour is so locked down like because of COVID procedures. Like we can't see anybody, we can't go surf with anybody.
Yeah, it's you can like, mess up the tour. You get sick, all of a sudden you're off."
Yeah, so
that makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah,
it's a weird tour.
It is. Yeah, that's just how they have to do it. But that's where they make their money.
Yeah,
you know. So I totally understood. But I'm like, okay, next time, man, you come through, we'll get you a wetsuit, we'll get you a board, we'll take you out to our spot.
Cool.
You know, I'm down. I've sent him a bunch of Iroko gear for the last several years.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I brought a bunch of stuff to the show to give to him.
Nice.
Yeah, have you ever seen that guy drum before?
Nope.
Oh, you have to look him up. Like he's probably one of the best drummers on the planet.
Knowing that sound, I mean, really good metal drumming, like the double bass, and I mean, it's where it's at, dude.
Oh yeah, it's just like I said, that you know, feeling going through your chest.
Visceral. Oh, so I love good. Double bass too.
Yeah, it's impressive. And then just with like the grinding of the guitar and just the, you know, the
and it's so hard to do night after night after night, and the riffs they're playing are so intricate.
Oh yeah.
The drummer for Slayer, I think he's like the third one. He lives in Santa Cruz.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I went and saw, and so there's Jeff Kendall, who's I think CEO, president of NHS, former Thrasher. He was on the cover of Thrasher many times and just a vert skater.
Oh, yeah.
And we're by the Santa Cruz offices. So he always puts Creature gear on them. you know? And then they played the Tonight Show. He was wearing a Creature. It was a badass shirt. The video was actually, it was a, whatever. He wore Santa Cruz or Creature live on, you know, Conan or, I don't even know, Jimmy Kimmel or something, one of those, when they performed. And then in the video, he's wearing a Creature shirt, but it's just it's Creature, but it's just back. It's just the normal Creature logo, but it was written backwards and just looked cool as shit. Maybe they flipped that when they produced it. Maybe that's where that shirt came from, but he always wears and supports Santa Cruz gear.
Oh, that's cool.
And, we all packed in a bus in the Independent Trucks tour when they go to their little tour demos. The Kendalls, me and my wife, and a couple of their friends. And sure enough, the drummer from Slayer and his girlfriend, and he was sitting behind me in the row. And Darcy's like pinching me, but I was like, yeah, I just can't help but like kind of like, I just want to talk to you a little bit. Like, you don't want to be a fucking fanboy, but at the same time, once we kind of got loose a little bit, I'm like, so what's your favorite venue to play? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
like,
yeah.
Oh, there's this haunted spot in Milwaukee, this theater that's pretty badass. And I remember him like saying, like, I'll think about that. And then he came back to me like 5 minutes later, he's like, all right, I know my favorite venue to play. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, he was pretty engaging. For the amount of physicality it takes to be a drummer like that, I mean, you would assume the dude would just be like ripped, you know, but it's just all those drumming muscles are dialed in, you know, he's just kind of a normal build. But it's exhausting, listen to Angel of Death and just listen to the freaking drumming on that. It's nuts.
I love that song.
Me too. I love me some Slayer.
Yeah.
I fucking love Slayer.
I love Slayer. It's always been one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
They're just such a good... I would have been a fanboy if you were sitting behind me. Yeah. Like, what? He's behind me?
I was a fanboy with Jeff Kendall for the first 10 times I hung out with him too.
Yeah.
Intoxicating. You know, do you know Billy Pepper? Do you know Andy Stone? You know, all the guys when I was in the 90s. And he engages with it. Oftentimes you'll find they're passionate about it. It's their living. And it's also probably, I don't know, they probably don't talk about it as much as you think, you know?
They're doing their own thing in their own routine.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Jeff too much, but I wonder if I start hitting him up on those same questions too. Hey, yeah, do you know this guy? Whatever happened to this guy, you know?
We have a cool neighborhood with Kendall living in there, you living on there, and a amateur podcaster living in the hood.
Got great people in our hood.
I need to hurry up and jump on tickets because I see the headline was now on sfgate.com, but Jane's Addiction and the Pumpkins are coming to Chase Center, and you and I have committed to doing that in November on a Tuesday night.
It's on. We'll make it through that Tuesday night.
Hell yeah. They were on Howard Stern, both from Perry Farrell and Billy Corgan. I guess they're buds, and I'm such a... I love Billy Corgan, although... You know, anything like post 2004, I don't know, I've gone to shit, in my opinion, for the Pumpkins. The music is just like, wow, I can't believe I can't believe stuff, the words and the tunes and the format of the songs are coming out of Billy's mouth at this age when he's the same guy that made Gish and Melancholy and Siamese Dreams. It's just like, it's almost like a different band altogether. So I hope they play a lot of the older stuff, you know? That said, the guy's still expressing his art and he's into it, and he just has a lot of... I just like the guy, really engaging. But he was talking about knowing David Bowie, and he hung out with David Bowie like 20, 30 times because they are label mates.
Okay.
And he said the same thing, like, well, I didn't want to fanboy out on him or start asking him, you know, questions, because I'm a geek about David Bowie, but because he says, I'll make friends in my life, and they want to tell me about Siamese Dream, and they want to tell me about what it means to them, and they just want to tell me their story about them. He's like, and it just gets old, you know? And so I wanted to find something with David Bowie where, you know, he wanted to talk to me about something. Like, I just tried to find a common subject. And he goes, and then down the road, I would start geeking out and asking him about, you know, Ziggy Stardust and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I look forward to doing that with you. And that will be at Chase Center too. Although I doubt we're going to have access to the engineering booth based on the ticket prices. But maybe Billy will take some Oroco gear from you.
Yeah, you never know.
What music? What's the last thing you listen to music-wise?
Oh, gosh. I've been listening to Lord Huron.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been listening to him on repeat for a while. And I always say his name wrong.
Go ahead.
Alan Isikoff.
I want to know.
Yeah, I can look it up real quick. It's because I don't want to, I don't do the guy justice. He's coming as well, this other guy. Let's see here. Gregory Alan Isikoff. I think that's how you say his last name.
Gregory Alan Isakov. All right.
Yeah, those two guys have been my, I guess my anthem for the end of the school year here.
Right on.
Just kind of cruise through, and it's just a nice melodic sound.
Yeah.
You know, with lots of changes throughout.
Yeah.
You know, the I'm not a musician, so yeah. I don't know diddly squat about how music works, yeah. but it just, it's perfect. A lot of times I love roots reggae, mm-hmm. you know, you and I have talked about that, but my students get tired of hearing roots reggae, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, a white dude in his 40s, you yeah. know, to reggae in yeah. class, like, yeah. come on, Mr. Chegg, like, this is getting old, so, but they like Lord Huron, they like, you know, Isikoff, so.
Well, I would argue that the Lord Huron meets the white dude in his 40s demo way more on target than the roots reggae, too. I mean, that's some white guy suburban mellow music right there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I listen to plenty of that myself.
Right yeah, I'll play some death metal in the morning, yeah. and some, you know, I'll listen to, like, Bad Religion or, yeah. or you know, Misfits or Circle Jerks or something yeah. like that when the kids aren't around,
yeah.
you know, but when they're in there, just trying to cruise along with everybody.
Look at this agenda. We're checking it all off. So I'm going to burn through some other items here. Cool. I asked you what's a great memory you have of bodyboarding. I'm going to count your barrel, one of your first barrel as an example of that. I wanted to ask, let's go back to riding on surfboards on your feet real quick. Mm-hmm. Are you still getting a nose rider from Ashley Lloyd, or is that on hold? Where does that stand?
Ooh, I think it just takes a while.
Yeah.
So.
Is your order in?
No.
It's going to take long then.
Well, I don't know how people operate. So I've only had a few custom boards, right? Yeah. And I know she's been down in Mexico and she's probably been busy. So I'm just going to chalk it up to that. But it's been on my list of things to do to go, hey, what's next?
Yeah.
So.
And so you're looking for a nose rider shape.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cool.
And honestly, I'll probably just end up buying a used board
yeah.
for the summer and
yeah.
go from there.
You can't, you know, that's cool too. In fact, any listeners that have a used nose rider, you want to donate to Oroco or sell it to them. I know yeah. you would. Let's ask for the donation first. Or want to sell it. Hit me up. Hit Alex up for real. I liked how you described it. You want an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want something that I could catch waves, anything on, you know, just like put my index finger in and just paddle, like not even do full paddles.
Yes.
Get in.
I like that.
You know, walk yeah. around on.
I have a 910 nose rider and I love it. It's like 23 and a half wide and it's, I don't know what it is. It's like 3 1/8 or almost 3, maybe 3 1/4 thick. And it's just a beefy son of a bitch. And it takes a while to like navigate it in the water. I mean, you know, it takes, you know, when you're surfing shorter boards or even like my 8-0 egg and stuff, you just kind of, you can move it around, but this guy, it's like an aircraft carrier. You got to plan your turn to flip it around. And, you know, it's kind of underrated, the ability to handle a bigger board in the water. You know, people who do that really well, leashless no less, that's an impressive skill set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, after listening to your pod last time mm-hmm. with Junot, I was like, I should just get a board from him.
You should.
You know.
You should. In fact, he may even have some in stock. You can give your money to a better dude, man.
Yeah, I can tell. I love that last pod you did with him. That was really cool.
Well, that's nice of you to say. And you know what? And I gifted him an Oroco shirt right as on. Well. And he wrote me a really kind, he gave me a voicemail as a thank you. I never called him back because I think he just wanted to say thanks. I just left it on his desk with a thank you card. And he also said that a gal named Lisa placed an order with him based on the pod. So thank you, Lisa, now that I think of it. So.
Cool.
You know, that's cool. Hopefully we could sell some Oroco gear too. Good people. I love how this pod has got me dialed, giving me an excuse to make friends with people in the industry a little bit, you know? It's pretty cool. And listeners as well. So you want an aircraft carrier. I recommend for aircraft carriers, and I've sent you it when I find it, the CJ Nelson Pearson Aero model is like, I just know it's time tested. I've seen it around forever. Even that Surf Tech version, if you can mm-hmm. get your hands on that, because it's durable as hell. Probably not as heavy, but I don't know, but it's like, it is like 24 inches wide and it's 3+ thick and it's 10, you know, a 10-0. Keep your eyes peeled for the CJ Nelson.
Yeah, well, you've sent me a couple Pearson. And I reach out to the people on Craigslist and they sell pretty quick.
So, see, they're hot. Oh, you do follow, pursue those?
Yeah.
Sick, man. Yeah. I wish that source, the great Eric who's been on the pod, had a source nose rider that he sold and it was on the market again. And I emailed it and I even had a friend email me, say, hey, are you interested in Eric's board? He knew it was Eric's board for some reason. And Fireman Mike. And I said, yeah, I want it. Yeah, tell him I'll take it for what he's asking. He said, it's yours. I got it. And I was going to, you know, give it to you, basically. And I may have tried to surf it once or twice before I handed it over to you. But I said, sorry, you just sold it. It's like, son of a bitch. Because that would have been cool.
Yeah, that was a nice board.
That was a beautiful board.
Yeah.
Nick Palandrini. Pellandrani. Anyway, Source Surfboards, beautiful product. Check out Source Surfboards. Google that. Check out that website. You want to see some good looking shapes and glass jobs too. So anyway, like I said, we need to, oh, I have a note right here. Solicit listeners to either donate or sell a nose rider to Alex Check. So we'll see.
Oh yeah, I'll see what's out there.
Hey man, there's surfers out there listening to this and they may have something collecting dust. They're like, you know, that'd be kind of cool. So if you want to sell a board, we're putting out the All Points Bulletin for that.
Right on. Thank you.
All right. So let's jump around. Of all bodyboarding waves, what's your favorite wave?
Ooh. There's a lot of good waves for different reasons. There's no one particular wave that's my favorite. I can't play favorites.
Okay.
I'll just say... Because, you know, G-Land, when Speedies is good, you know, and that Cobra's breaking, like, that's a phenomenal place, you know. That's just a different kind of barrel, a different kind of a ride. There's some slabs at the top of, in Chile, at the very top in Iquique, that are just mind-bending.
Chile. Yeah, you mentioned Chile a couple times to me.
Yeah, there's a couple waves there that are just, they break below sea level. You know, they're not like Chopu, but they do have that kind of like initial subterranean, you know, like it sucks off the reef and it goes below the reef and you kind of like stay still as this wave like grows and then eventually throws over you.
Yeah. You know? I never heard that term, but below sea level. So like it really will suck.
Yeah. It sucks off the reef and you can see all the water coming off the reef and you're just kind of hanging on that little ledge. And then it just, you know, goes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Cool. There's that. That's that wave. I don't want to say its name, but that wave is really good.
Fair enough. Cool.
Yeah.
What hemisphere is it?
It's in northern Chile.
Oh, you said that.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Cool. If it's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You know, and people that have been to Chile that know the northern reefs up there, they probably know what I'm talking about.
Sweet. Cool. Do you mind if I take a quick break and piss somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Not at all. Keep your mic on because we'll keep it kind of calibrated, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's
see here. Am I still recording? Am I back?
Back.
Make sure I'm back.
Live and direct.
We're back. Quick bathroom break after hearing about that sub-sea level drainer somewhere in Chile, deep in the jungle. All right, yeah, bathroom break because I pounded some coffee. What time are we looking at? We're now at 7:48 on a Sunday morning. You're broadcasting live to tape, live to my iPhone at the Oroco warehouse. Do you do designing in here as well too?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a storage,
order fulfillment, shipping, receiving.
Yeah.
Yep. Outstanding. Cool. All right, so this is why I wanted to hit the restroom, because I wanted to make sure my bladder was relaxed with this one. You told us about your Puerto Escondido scary moment, uh-huh. Right? I love hearing harrowing stories of the sea. Can you share another scary story of your surfing career in which maybe got your ass kicked swept out to sea? I know Hawaii, you mentioned there's a couple spots too.
Some rips
that are gnarly.
Yeah.
Is there anything that comes to mind you can share with our listeners, please?
Oh, for sure.
All right.
There was one time on the north shore of Oahu I was out of pipe. And pipe was just too crowded, and I ended up paddling towards Rocky Rights, and the swell wasn't that big, and out of nowhere, I just felt like the swell turned on, like it tripled in size.
Is that what happens in Hawaii? I've heard that. The swell comes hard and fast.
Oh yeah, yeah, it can come out of nowhere. Like if it's, you know, high energy and it just, I mean, it's intense. It was intense. Like it really caught me off guard because it was like my first time on the North Shore when I was a kid. You know, I think I was like 18 years old, and I was out at Rocky Rights, and I was the only guy out there, and you know, started to turn on, caught a couple waves, and paddled back out, and then I noticed like a set come in. It was breaking a little bit further out, and I was like, what? What's going, you know, it was like, cool. I was stoked. And then, Kalani Rob, you know, really good surfer. He paddled out with a big grin, you know, and he just paddled right by me and was like paddling out.
He knew what was up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, You know, so I was like, okay, Kalani used to come to Solana Beach and hang out with some of the surf kids there. So I kind of knew him. I was like, okay, yeah, let's go out there. And he caught a wave, and then a bigger set came in. It was just, it kept on getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, I think at that time I wasn't really used to surfing. You know, it was my first time surfing super heavy waves. Like, I'd surf La Jolla reefs and blacks, and I've been to Mexico, but it was, Hawaii is just different. Mm. And I took off on this one wave on this set, and you're supposed to follow, your eyes should follow the lip line when you're dropping in, right? I mean, just to kind of see like what the wave's going to do. That's what I was always taught. Like, when you're dropping in, watch the lip line.
All right, taking notes on that.
And,
got it.
and I by the time I was so focused on going down the face of the wave and watching the curvature at the base, I wasn't watching the lip line.
Right.
And when when I finally got to the bottom of the wave, I looked up, and the lip basically just, like, it was already like pitching and going right towards my head.
Right.
And it just sent me straight to the bottom. Like, the lip just creamy.
Just tons of water.
Oh, tons creamy of water.
Pushing you straight to the bottom.
Yeah, it just felt like the whole ocean just lit me in the head. Mm. And I went straight to the bottom, and I was way out to sea at that point. And I just bounced off the bottom all the way to the beach.
Wow.
I just rolled me. I just hit the bottom, I don't know, maybe 10 times. Like, bam, bam. Like, I just rolled. It just slammed me.
You know? You weren't able to get a gasp of air.
No.
It was all underwater.
No, all underwater. All the way to the beach. All the way to the beach. It just, and then when I got to the beach, it just kind of pushed me onto the sand. And I just like barfed.
You did?
Yeah, I barfed seawater.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just full of water, you know, like in my ears and my nose, just sand. I just threw up and just tried to, you know, blow sand out of my nose. And my ears just had tons of sand in them. And it was one of the, a super heavy beating.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. It put you back on the beach though.
Oh yeah.
I mean, better it took you out there than the other direction, right?
It was the weirdest thing. I've never had that happen to me since.
I haven't heard that before either, really.
But I just remembered like bouncing off the bottom all the way in, you know, and I was cut up and.
I bet. You know. Did you ever practice like breath hold training or anything of that nature?
Not seriously. Yeah. You know, I grew up swimming, you know, on swim teams and stuff, and was lucky to be around pools like on the military bases that I grew up on. Mm-hmm. So holding your breath was always like a thing to do in the pool, but never any proper, you know, training like you see the big wave guys do.
That's cool. I have a story that's nothing like that, but one time at Capitola, when it was like a 6 or 7 foot day, I got one of the best waves of my life, but then the swell was creeping up, and I knew it was, and it was a high tide. It was going to be like a king tide, like 6.5, 7 feet, and start to smash against the seawall. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had this little window, and I had talk about Little League memories and stuff. One of my best, I'm sure it looked like shit when I surfed it, but it felt great. One of my best waves, the main peak there, and took it all the way into toes, and then paddled all the way around. It was time to go because I knew the swell was picking up, but also the tide. And I had to find my way into that, you know, just off the jetty, that, you know, sandy beach break, you know, or it's just shore pound. And it was like legit pounding, you know, which is a testament to how big the swell was in town with Capitola, which is a pretty mellow spot. And I had to time that bitch. I know you know what I'm talking about, trying to get in.
Yeah.
And I remember there's this other gal named Fairy who was surfing. I don't see her around town anymore. Super cool. And she was just like, we were trying to time it together, you know? And I remember like, I was getting way too close to that jetty. She's like, careful of the jetty. Someone had to, you know, whatever. Damn near killed themselves getting slammed on the jetty yesterday. I was like, oh, okay. And I kept trying to, and I was like, all right, let's go now. You know, and then you see sets come. You're like, nope, can't go now. Cause you're just going to get absolutely pounded into the sand. And finally, whatever, I made it in, you know, timed it, but I was like waist high and I was just too overzealous to get to the beach. So like I hopped off my board and I was like trudging through, you know, through mud. Yeah. And then it was like, look out behind you. And sure enough, ga-dosh, it just slammed. I don't know, who knows what happened to my board. Everything just went boom, face down, and it slid me, you know, you just said it knocked you to the beach. Like it slid me, you know, head first Pete Rose slide into it. So it was like embarrassing, you know, and then the old heads out there at the beach, our own guy goes, I bet you got sand and parts of your body you didn't even know existed after that. And it was true, man. I was so like stoked after the wave I had, and just stoked that I made it in. And I didn't ding my board when I got slammed for whatever reason.
That always sucks too.
That does always suck. All right. Well, let's do the drawing.
Yeah.
And may I, would you mind, speaking of an Instagram post, would you mind recording me do the drawing? And I'll put a post up to my, to my tens of followers on IG who participated in this.
All right. Here, I'll do it.
There. Whatever. You're cool. All right. So coming at you live from the Oroco warehouse in Seabright district of bucolic Santa Cruz. Thank you for all the donators. Just to be above board, like I said, my 2007 Giants hat. Picked this up, I think, in Tim Lincecum's rookie season. We're going to do a drawing for everyone who donated and or used a promo code at Oroco.com. Winner's going to get $200 in free Oroco gear. So thank you to Alex. Let's make sure we put this name back in here. All right. So this is the podcast where I exploit my relationship with my friends for pod content, and in this case, product, too. And you're the beneficiary of that. So here we go. The grand winner is going to be, thank you for all who donated, Lisa G. There you have it. Lisa G, God bless you. You got $200 of Oroco coming your way.
Awesome.
Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you donating. And I'll contact you with information on how to get your gear. Thank you, Lisa.
Perfect.
Nice. Thank you. Cool. Yeah. Lisa G it is.
That's awesome.
Sweet. Good, Lisa G. I forgot we're still recording a pod. Yeah. It's so different when you're on video. You just get way more nervous. We're just talking to a microphone so much easier. But God bless you, Lisa G. Good. I'm glad you won.
Yeah, so. That's cool. Yeah, she could hit me up and I'll work out the details with her. That's really cool.
I'll shoot her an email today. Thank you, Alex, for donating to the listeners. I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. It's fun, man.
Very cool.
That's what it's all about.
Good. Well, let's end it on a good note. Before we do, I want to ask you two things, actually. Do you have any goals moving forward in surf that you'd like to achieve?
Oh, you know, I think I'm at this point where my main goal is preservation.
Yeah.
You know, especially after this year, I haven't been as active as I'd like to be.
Yeah.
So I really want to be healthy so that I can continue to surf. I want to be able to paddle out in waves of consequence and feel like I could still handle it.
Mm.
You know, I think that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to, you know, not go, mm-hmm. you know, or pass off like a day that's heavy. I want to be able to still be out there.
Mm.
So that's one thing. And then just surf wise, I've enjoyed longboarding so much that I really want to get better at that too.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my goal this summer. That's why I need the aircraft carrier.
Yep.
I just want to practice my walking and you know, just toes on the nose if I can.
I want to do that with it too. Yeah. I really love longboarding. It's fun. Kind of feels like you got to do one or the other though. Like when I keep switching back and forth, and I got this, Jason basically on spec bought me this 6.2 Lost MR, like a Cali twin. We were talking about like the fish design, like California. And it's like 22 wide and 2 7/8. And it's just like paddles really nice. And I've gotten up on every time and just, you know, start. And so I get into that and I get all amped on that. But then I watch Devin Howard longboarding, or I listen to him. You know, he did a great podcast with Surf Mastery about riding mid-length boards, you know, and how to properly ride them and how to duck dive them if you can and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck, I want to get into longboarding too. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know, it's tough to like dial into both. Do you find if you need to specialize in one kind of style of riding to improve?
I think if you want to get a little bit better at it, you do need to do it a little mm-hmm. bit more. But I also think, you know, with every year, there's just different seasons with the surf, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or there's seasons throughout the year that you just have to accommodate with the craft that you ride.
Right.
So here we are, got summer coming up, south swells again. You know, it's a great time to ride a longboard, right? There's going to be some days that you'll be stoked to ride your fish or your mm-hmm. mid-length. Like, but I think if you're consistent and you do one, you're going to get more comfortable on the board you ride, and you're going to make that board do what you want it to do. But then, you know, listening to you too, I also think like, well, there's no reason why you can't ride other boards and mix it up too, right?
Certainly.
You know, I think the biggest motivator to ride a longboard is just to get back into shape and just kind of get my ocean groove back on, get the rhythm happening again. And then, you know, I have another desire just to ride a twin fin too, you know, and do that, because that can be super fun, you know, so that, yeah. But that I know I need this progression or to get back to where I want to be,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And same thing on bodyboarding too. I don't have like the same mechanics that I used to. I just know that there's some things I need to like maybe stretch out a little bit and,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
The wave knowledge is there, you know, but there's still things that like maneuver wise that I'd like to get back into tune with and be able to do, but it's, you know, repetition.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It'll come.
Right on. Well, let's find you that aircraft carrier. I'm a Craigslist scroller, as you know, so I'll keep sending you links. Right. And thank you again for donating to our listeners. I just occurred to me, I think this Lisa G is the same one who placed an order with Juneau too.
Oh, right on.
He mentioned, I believe her name was Lisa. So if it is the same, then hey man, that's the universe working, and yeah. You deserve that. I appreciate the donations, of course.
Yeah, I do too. I appreciate the support.
I mean, the biggest donation of all came from you with the clothes to one of our listeners. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Right on. All right, Alex of Iroko, anything you'd like to add to the dozens and dozens of listeners to the Midlife Surfer universe?
You know, summer's ahead. Just take some time to yourself. You know, get in the water. You know, just try to step back a little bit and enjoy the little things. You know, that's what life's all about.
Right on.
That's what we're here for.
Cool. Good man. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.